if we can, or at least how much of 4 hours of talk we can cram into a 2-hour show.
Usually we do the reverse.
Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, where we are revved up and ready to go. And we do have a whole lot to talk about. And let me go around the room and introduce our cast here. Of course, you got me, Christopher Hart. You got Rachel Cohen. You got the chairman of the board, Michael McBath, who's riding high today. We got Nicholas Cicero on the bridge. And, of course, you in the audience, 407-774-8255. Abe Katzman will be joining us. He should be checking in here in just a little while. Congressman John Micah is going to stop by at the top of the next hour. And we have got a whole lot to talk about in the meantime. Stanford tomorrow, Donald Trump. Doors open at noon. The event begins at 3. So please head on out there, and you'll have the opportunity to see the man himself right up close. If you haven't already, you're in for a treat. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. Speaking of treats, you know these Democrats, they've been paying for all these vandals and never-do-wells at Trump rallies, going there and stirring up trouble. Mm-hmm. I guess they paid for some action in Happy Valley on Saturday night.
Happy Valley. But you know what? We're going to be happy to pay that $18,000 for the damage. But, I mean, the reality of it is, for football aficionados, you couldn't have asked
for it. Don't get much better than that.
An unbelievable game. 107,000 people there. And I told
the whiteout.
And with the whiteout, which is a real treat itself. If you haven't ever seen that, you will see it nowhere else.
All the fans, the entire wear white, they all wear white.
They have white pom-poms, male, women, and they're not transgender. So they're men and women, not trans. Okay. So they're out there, you know, going crazy and everything. In the beginning, like I told the Ohio State people before the game, you know, make sure you don't miss this whiteout. And then after the game, I said, you misinterpreted my words. It was wipeout. But what actually in reality happened, it was one of those rare days where a team that was way down beats the number two team in the nation. But that's why you play. You know what I mean? That's why you play the game.
You know what? Go ahead and finish your point.
And it's a case that we needed that shot in the arm because this has been a 5-year move back from the end of Paterno's situation. But it is a case that... what happened too is the people came out of the stands, the whole floor of the stadium, about 100 yards both ways was just totally packed up with people screaming, yelling, and hugging each other, and it was insane. And then it shifted downtown, and that's when the Democrats got involved.
They always come in and try to turn a good thing bad.
We knew they were hidden there in Ohio State uniforms, and they had masquerade and everything else. But they had suffered a little bit of damage. But again, I think the great thing for Penn State, and one thing I remind all Gators, and we have a lot of Gators out there, is we did you a favor. We beat Urban Meyer.
Indeed.
He hadn't been beat since 2012 in an away game.
I thought about you the entire game. Seriously. Did you, Chris, did you think about Mike? I knew he was going to be.
That's why I was watching the game. I thought about
it. Ditto.
But I mean, that's the great thing about
really
college football is the human experience where pro football, and Chris, we've talked about this a number of times. You know, like last year, I still say this. I go to the Super Bowl as, the president of the NFL Players Association, retire side. I go there. They give me $3,000 tickets. You sit down. You think, boy, this is really going to be great, right? The same drunks, the same pole dancers are there. Nothing changes. It's just the price went up. That's all, So I'm sticking with college football.
It was the pomp and circumstance that goes with college football. You just don't get it anywhere else.
You just can't get that excitement.
Because you have
right?
the huge crowds.
Right.
And you have the enthusiasm, and then there's the afterwards when people do flood on the field and become a part of the event itself.
Yeah, they're hugging
rather
all the
than just spectators,
players.
They're now part of it.
Yeah.
And then it's the analogy, because there they were up against an opponent that they were given no chance to beat.
3 touchdown underdogs.
Underdogs.
Right.
No
Impossible.
Chance were they given to beat. This
don't
game
even show
was
up.
Over before
yeah.
it began.
Don't
and
show
then
up.
When the game began, they did get down. They were down, 21-10?
It was 21-7.
7.
And then we moved up to 10.
Yeah.
But like you're pointing at, it looked like the end is here, except for one thing. the players playing it didn't believe the game was over.
And the game wasn't over.
Right.
Right?
That's
and
exactly
just like
right.
this election, this game ain't over. Don't buy into this nonsense here. The Sunday Morning Orlando Sentinel, main head story, top story they call it. Clinton now looks past Trump. Nominee tries to help other Democrats on ballot. Don't buy into that.
We should send her that Ohio State, Penn State score and say, baby, you are Ohio State, and the end is coming.
I'll tell you what, you know, anything can happen this year. Trump has definitely proven that. The polls have been shifting back into his favor. There is no question about that. This is a race, and we now know that John Podesta was advising the media groups. You know, and I'm sick and tired of hearing these polling agencies, and then they tell us who the polling agency is, ABC and Washington Post.
Oh,
they are a polling agency?
Yeah.
No, they are media outlets. They are liberal media outlets bent on defeating Donald Trump.
They're a fraud
and
outlet.
And then you got Wall Street Journal and NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Are they polling agencies? No, same thing. And then we get the WikiLeaks dump today. John Podesta advising on how to do exactly what maybe they are doing, which is to, and we've talked about this on the show before, you oversample. Okay, what they are doing is polling more Democrats than Republicans in a disproportionate amount. So you're getting more Democrats answering these polls than Republicans, okay? And they overweight, too, with independents. So what happens is you get a skewed result.
Chris, you know
that. The agencies that don't do that, which is the L.A. Times, USC,
mm-hmm.
Reuters,
right.
and Investors Business Daily, and a couple of others that don't do that, show this race either neck and neck or actually Donald Trump ahead.
That Washington Post one, you know, what was interesting about that, their sample was 27% Republican, 36% Democrat, 31% independent. You add that up, but that's 94%. What happened to the other six?
Well, not only that,
but the reality of it is you can play this game any way you want, and demographics of where they're going into changes the complexion of everything. And that's why polls, particularly run by dishonest organizations and dishonest input that was provided by Podesta, boy, not good.
And it's not only who you poll.
Not good for America.
Exactly. You can overweight two ways. Okay,
right.
And what he was talking about was overweighting what you just cited, more Democrats, Republicans mm-hmm. than that. There's another way, which you kind of mentioned in what you were just saying.
Demographics.
Geographics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, in other words, it doesn't make any sense to poll anybody in California.
No.
So how many people in these polls, but how many people in these polls are from California, right? They basically should be polling the states that are in play. And the weighting should be similar, and then you get a more accurate response.
And everywhere I go, and I am very observant, all I see is Trump-Pence signs everywhere. Yeah. I don't see any Hillary signs.
Well,
do you?
I do. I see them in downtown Orlando. And you got
that's about the only place, though, Chris.
And it's stocked full of.
And I'm down there for that tennis. You know, they got those tennis courts and all that stuff downtown. I don't see really much, and I don't hear anybody talking about Hillary. If anything, they're talking about Trump. But you're right. That is the home of the Democratic Party.
It's the yuppies and the metrosexuals.
Right. Yeah, that's
okay?
Where it is. You're right.
And they wear it like a badge.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about this on the show some last night, and that is that Orange County, Hillsborough County, Orange County, and Volusia County will decide this election for the state of Florida and maybe for the whole nation. Okay? And that's why both candidates and their proteges are spending so much time down here. And once again, Donald Trump in Sanford tomorrow. You got to go to DonaldJTrump.com to get your tickets. So we are right in, as we've said before,
right
in the thick of things, right? We're right here where the action is.
And we can help determine the results.
Exactly. And get this, my numbers guy, I've got a numbers guy, all right, who's watching the poll numbers and everything. He's done a great deal of research past elections.
Who's that, Slippery Mancini?
No. It'd be our man Carl Jackson.
Oh.
And he says that Castleberry... Now, we've got a lot of listeners out there in Castleberry.
I know Castle, right.
You know, okay, and the Winter Springs area right around in there. That is going to be crucial to how Orange County goes. and how Orange County goes, as we've said, may be the state. So we're, as I said, we're right here in the thick of things. And so we need to get this here job done. And we do, then we'll be victorious. It's like the other night with Penn State.
Chris, but just even
keep
like,
believing. Don't give up the ghost.
By you identifying Castleberry in all seriousness, I mean, that's an area that Republicans should focus on, knock on doors, get the people out. If that's a game changer, get them out. Because if that can turn it, that's what we need. And,
well, I encourage everyone who's listening who lives in or works in Castleberry to, you know, do what you can to get with your neighbors and friends.
This is what's fun about being in studio with these guys. We went from pole dancing to voting polls, all in a full swoop. Nobody missed a beat.
All right, and it's unrehearsed.
Yep, obviously.
Yeah. All right, before we get too far away from the football, let's go to Frank, who's on the line, wants to talk football. Frank, thanks for calling tonight.
Polling thing's going to blow up in their face because Trump people are going to go to the polls, and Hillary people will think, you know, she's a lock, and it won't be as much as enthusiasm. It's going to suppress their turnout. So and it's going to work, against them.
And by the way, there's another thing that's depressing a lot of liberals. They are paying attention to these WikiLeaks dumps, and they are being offended by the things that are being said about them behind their backs, and as they should be. You know, and it's not just Catholics, it's the Hispanics. They were singled out, you know, the needy Hispanics.
I know.
They need
the pathetic
attention.
I know, isn't that terrible?
Right.
That's terrible.
And they have disparaged any number of groups, and they have noticed. So go ahead, Frank.
But the reason I called is an Ohio State grad. I wanted to congratulate Big Mike.
Thank you, Frank. Now, Frank, all I want to know is how did you bet on this game?
I'm a horse guy.
You're a horse guy?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't play that college?
You know, it was a well-deserved victory for the program, and I heard Rachel say she thought about you the whole game, which I did also. I actually ran out of pins to stick in my big mic.
No, I noticed. I could feel you pounding those statues against the wall, TV screen. You know, we hate Penn State. We are. That's funny.
But, you know, the great thing, once again, about college football is the rivalry goes on.
No,
and next
year,
the teams will meet up again, and it'll mean every bit as much again.
And, Frank, you know their quarterback, JT Barrett, who's the Heisman, one of the leaders and all that. Well, JT better work on his passing, buddy. You know what I mean?
I want to say something about that, and I've been complaining about this all year. Look, the shotgun is okay in limited situations, okay?
Right.
But when you go all shotgun all the time, I'm sorry. That stinks. It ruins your running game because linebackers have more. It takes longer for that running back to get started. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, because you're 3 yards back when you hand the ball off. And if you got penetrating linemen, that's it. You're tackled.
Get your butt under center and run the quick hitter. And then the linebackers will freeze on the play action. You know what I'm saying? That all shotgun all the time stinks. I hate.
Well, thanks for calling ESPN Sports, Frank.
I love it.
The X's and O's. All right. Hey, great stuff, Frank. Thank you so much.
That was good, Frank. We appreciate that.
You know? All right. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, too, that people are going to be seeing that could be depressing more vote, including the Podesta stuff.
Doesn't that get you so mad that you would vote? It just burns me up when I read this stuff, and that gets me more inspired to call people and make sure they're going to do something.
That's what I'm saying. This is beginning to have a backlash effect, all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI now, Terry McAuliffe, the governor of Virginia,
first
who
class.
Was very instrumental in the Clinton administration. He's the one who bought for the Clintons their Chappaqua house when they were broke out of the White House, right? He bought their house for
them. $10 million. Right.
Yeah, he has paid off, I'm going to go ahead and say it, he paid off the FBI. This is a payoff.
Yeah.
Okay? The lead investigator, the guy who was overseeing under Comey, the investigation into Hillary Clinton and her server, Andrew McCabe,
right.
His little wife, his little bride, sweet little, I forget her name, but Jill, Dr. Jill McCabe,
right. Little Jill.
Was running for, I believe it was a state Senate seat.
Right.
And so what does McAuliffe do? Comes up with about $500,000 in donations to help the little lady out while the investigation is going on.
That is so bad, Chris. I mean, you know, anybody with any degree of decency, that would just force you to switch to vote for Trump. It's just horrible.
It's obvious unless you're oblivious.
Exactly.
That's the way to put it, right.
And then the latest Project Veritas video has come out, and I'll call it If It Quacks Like a Duck. It is a duck, right? The fellow Bob Cramer, the guy who was in and out of the White House a lot.
He's another dubious individual.
300-plus times in and out of the White House, 40-something times in the Oval Office itself with the president. He described how Hillary Clinton wanted somebody in a duck costume to show up at the Trump rallies during the primary. And I don't know if you remember, but and plus early on when he was running for president as the nominee, you had these characters showing up in Donald Duck outfits, right? And the whole intent, once again, was to elicit a negative response, shall we say, from the Trump crowd. They were trying to get people mad enough to, you know, be violent, push them or whatever, right? And so that's not, I mean, you know, oh, yeah, big deal, a duck. No, this is the problem that this video points out, and that is that the command to do this came from Hillary Clinton and the Clinton campaign to a PAC, okay, who carried out the order, which is a big no-no.
Right.
And if the FEC is worth anything, if they haven't been compromised like the FBI, the Justice Department, the IRS at all, if they haven't been also compromised, this is a serious federal elections violation.
Yep.
Which carries with it a prison sentence, as a fellow by the name of D'Souza knows.
What would scare me, Chris, if she wanted them to dress as a duck, you know, that caused problems and everything? We all know about her Deadpool, right? How would you like to be at a Halloween party and all of a sudden you see this duck coming towards you?
Well, we know now if you're at a Trump rally, you see somebody dressed like a duck.
If it
walks and quacks like a duck, it's a Democrat.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Abe Katzman is going to join us. We also have some other phone callers, too, so please stick with us. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
Everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436, or 07-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Folks, please join me and let's welcome Patriot Home Funding as our brand new sponsor here to the American Adversaries. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding. These are great folks and they're longtime residents of Central Florida. John and Pierce at Patriot Home Funding are the sons of World War II veterans and are honored to serve our greatest heroes, our veterans. If you are a veteran, call Patriot Home Funding today. And if you mention the American Adversaries, John and Pierce will pay for your VA appraisal at closing. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. You can visit the lending experts at Patriot Home Funding anytime on the web at myphf.com or call them at 877-377-8123. That's 877-377-8123. Patriot Home Funding, where we finance the American dream.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh, my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
Slowdowns on I-4 eastbound begin at Sand Lake Road to Universal Boulevard. Then you're heavy from John Young Parkway to Ivanhoe and heavy Fairbanks to 436. Westbound on the brakes from the 408 to Michigan, John Young Parkway to the Turnpike is slow and slow past 192. And the 417 northbound from Curry Ford Road up to the 408, slow and go. We got big time slowdowns from Red Bug Lake Road down to University Boulevard on 436. There's a crash at University and 436 in the road. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right. That's right. That music means it is time for our man coming to us live from Jerusalem, Abe Katzman. Abe, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. Love that music.
It fits you, man. It fits. Listen, you've written another great article entitled Trump Right to Raise Fraud, Still Better for Israel. And just these things with the fraud and the backdoor, your shenanigans just keep coming to the forefront. Are people in Israel as tuned in to this as you are?
I think the answer is no. I base that on the very scientific study of people who gave me personal feedback about it in the last couple of days. Even people who are serious anti-Trump people have told me that they weren't aware of this kind of thing. I think most people are not. This is, everybody keeps on saying from the other side, voter fraud is a fiction, voter fraud is a fiction, and they keep on saying it. And then even though example after example comes up of fraud in these elections, they just keep on saying the same thing as if they're just shutting their eyes to it. And, there's no shortage of this kind of stuff. It takes me all of about, 30 seconds on Google to find examples of this. And some of them I remember. Some of them I look at some of the stories that were written about them at the time. And there's plenty of it. John Fund from the Wall Street Journal wrote an entire book about this a few years back. So there is material out there for anyone who's willing to look at it. I don't know exactly what Donald Trump had in mind when he made his comments, but if I understood him correctly, this is the sort of thing he was referring to. And who knows what kind of stunts are being planned for this year's election. Now I see stories that George Soros's companies actually have
election machines.
Yeah, 16 states.
Something with the voting machine.
Yeah. Abe, hold it right there. We got to take the break. We went long in the first segment.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
You know, that little return bump we made way back when we first started doing this show. And boy, does it ever fit in today, political mayhem going on out there.
Oh, I know.
And I'm not talking about Donald Trump, right? I'm talking about all this nonsense going on by the liberals and the Democratic Party and the Hillary Clinton campaign. We got Abe Katzman on the line coming to us from Jerusalem. We got the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, and Rachel Cohen, and myself, Christopher Hart, here in the studio. 407-774-8255 is the number. Abe's written another great article. We've got it posted up on our Facebook. You can find it at the Times of Israel. You can find it on Abe's website, which is abekatzman.com. You spell Katzman with an S. It's entitled Trump Right to Raise Fraud, Still Better for Israel. And we were talking about this, as we went to the break. And Abe, you have outlined a great deal of fraud in past elections, including in Philadelphia and other areas where voter fraud was found to happen, but nobody ever did anything about it, right? So I got a couple of questions for you. First of all, why is it that no one seems to ever do anything about this? And two, What do you think about all this hysteria over Trump's response in the debate, which you put the quotes in your article, all this hysteria from both the left and the right that, oh, my God, he's the one now undermining our system?
Well, let's deal with the second part first. It is hysteria. I don't know if they're so worried, why don't they just ask him exactly what it is that he meant by that and let him explain it? Trump is not always the best spokesman for his own positions. Sometimes he's very good, but in this case, in a format like the debate, I don't think he gets the point out as well as he should. And if he's making a point like this, he probably ought to make it a bit clearer. But that being the case, so follow up afterwards. Ask him. He didn't say he was calling his people out into the streets to riot. That's not what Republicans do. At least they haven't historically. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen this time.
Right.
But that's certainly not what he said. He wasn't talking about making the country ungovernable. But would challenging results somewhere be any different from what Al Gore did?
Right.
Why would it be any different from what Al Franken did in 2008 when he pretty much stole a Senate seat from Norm Coleman, Senator Norm Coleman?
Yeah, indeed.
Coleman had actually won the election, won the recount, and then over the course of 8 months, we're not even talking, I mean, Al Gore was 5 weeks, that was bad enough. For 8 months, they didn't have a senator. And finally, Franken, his lawyers, I guess, were better than Coleman's. He was able to get the victory declared for him, and he came in as the 60th vote for Obamacare.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
it matters.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Coleman at some point just kind of threw in the towel. Now, maybe he was getting that legal advice, but it seemed to me he gave up the ghost on that one. But nonetheless, you're right, and you point out in your article that Franken turned out to be that 60th vote, which
right.
resulted in Obamacare, the stimulus package, you name it, in that first term of Obama's. So it did make a big difference.
I got a question, too, for Abe. Abe, I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Like, this weekend, Trump's over in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. You know, Gettysburg is sort of a rural-type city, 30,000 people. These people had to drive a long distance to come and listen to Trump. Hillary goes anywhere, and she'll go to a junior college because no one's coming to see her anyway. She'll draw 1,500 to 3,000. Don't you think this fraud story, too, might be a setup because, you know, it's a case maybe they are perpetuating major fraud right now because they know by watching these crowds everywhere it's not comparable. How can Trump have 5-6 to 1, you know, and I just wonder maybe they're throwing this out so, you know, they can cover themselves. What do you think?
Not impossible. There is less and less that I put past what the Democrats are willing to do and what the Clintons are willing to do. There was a time when I would have scoffed at something like that, but no more. I wouldn't be surprised. Look, I was down. I'm nobody important in this area, but I was down in Florida in Broward County in 2004, and we were kind of there in case there would be a lot of fraud and there would be a rerun of 2000. They needed a bunch of attorneys down there to document things. And we saw all kinds of things. We had to put a stop to it. I mean, right off the bat, they pull stunts like not letting the Republican poll watchers into the polling places, even though there's a list, the governor approves of all of these people, and they claim, oh, you're not on the list, or some other reason why they won't let them in. And when there's no Republican poll watcher in areas where there's a political machine, anything goes. So to say that there's no documentation of fraud is nonsense. Why would they keep the Republican poll watchers out?
Yeah, indeed. They just seem to cheat at everything. And they once they take control of the government fully, they will just I mean, we will be, we're the
That's
ones
the who, end.
We're the ones getting cheated. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then the second part of your article, which is the part still better for Israel, that is, Trump is still better for Israel. Once again, you point out some of these nefarious characters that she has surrounded herself with who don't seem to have Israel's best interest at heart.
No, and I think what we saw from the WikiLeaks is a recognition of the degree to which the Democratic Party has moved away from Israel, because there was instruction from her campaign to her to steer clear of talking about Israel when talking to general Democratic audiences, and to only bring it up when talking to Jewish audiences. Now, it would work the, you know, if in Republican circles, every time they mention something about Israel, it gets cheers. But there is a lot of anti-Israel feeling in the Democratic Party. And one of the things that that I mentioned here, I mean, we, you know, everybody made a big deal about the Republican platform and how pro-Israel it was. And it was. This is an unbelievable document from the standpoint of pro-Israel people. And the Democrats were debating things, amendments calling of talking about Israel's illegal occupation and illegal settlements, and the those amendments were defeated. I mean, we talked about this back in the days when we were talking about Cornel West.
Yep.
and what was his name, Zogby, who were on they were on the panel of doing this stuff. Anyway, they ended up defeating these amendments, but with 44% of the vote. So they lost this time. But the trend is such that this is not going to get any better. And when they lost, they were the people who were putting these anti-Israel proposals forward were chanting "Free, Free Palestine." Again, not something you'd find happening at the at the Republican convention.
Plus, Abe, I do remember one of your articles where even the Black Lives Matter started the Palestinian, I hate to use the unkosher thing, but piggybacking with the Black Lives Matter and Palestine. So they have infiltrated through even that branch of liberalism.
Yeah, look, there is on the left, they like to talk about this concept of intersectionality, mm-hmm. which means that people who are oppressed, in quotation marks, oppressed members of one group and oppressed members of a completely different group, nevertheless are really part of the same thing. So they will claim that being oppressed Black people and oppressed Palestinians should be on the same side of everything. And in fact, they were kind of blaming Israel. The Black Lives Matter people were blaming Israel because police had anti-terror training, nothing to do with shooting anybody, but anti-terror training. Police come to Israel because Israel's got a lot of experience with anti-terror. So, and not only that, they called, they have some manifesto, and it's Black Lives Matter. What does it have to do with the Middle East? And yet they go out of their way to make anti-Israel, really flagrantly disgusting anti-Israel statements.
I would love to walk up
to do with another.
I would love to walk up with a globe and say, I want you to point out to me where Israel is. Anybody in that Black Lives Matter? And they'd spin that thing like a top for about 2 days. I'd say, give it up, because you don't know where you're pointing.
Yeah.
Might as well take a blindfold, right?
Yep.
Hey, speaking of the Palestinian Authority, sort of good news, bad news, Abe, the Palestinian Authority arrests four. That was sort of the good news. The bad news is why they arrested them, right?
Yeah, they're, we just had the holiday of Sukkot here. In fact, it just finished up in Israel a few hours ago. People have a Sukkah, which is the kind of the booth, the hut that they make outside. And it's very common to invite people over. Anyway, there's a town, a settlement in the area of Judea, of the West Bank, south of Jerusalem, about 10 miles. They've always made it a point to have good relations with the with the residents of the Arab villages in the vicinity, and they invite the elders over, and they the people in charge of all, and right up to the chief rabbi there makes it a point to be on excellent terms with everybody there. So on the holiday, they invited a group of Palestinians, of Arabs, to come in and join them in the settlement. I mean, this is a town of 10,000 people. They call it a settlement. They keep calling it that. But okay, so it's a town of 10,000 people. They invited them to join them in the mayor's sukkah, and the Palestinian Authority arrested them for this. Palestinian Authority is not interested in normalization. That's not their game. That's what they'll talk about in international circles, but you see from something like this that this is not the kind of thing they do. And another thing from Israel's standpoint, the Prime Minister asked about this. He said, where are all the NGOs? Where are all those non-governmental organizations that are out there protesting every violation of what they think are violations of human rights? Where is the protest for arresting four people for coming and drinking coffee in the mayor's in the sukkah of the mayor of a settlement? There's no outcry from them. So that kind of exposes, like they needed more exposure, but it is more exposure of who a lot of these NGOs are. They're not out there just about human rights. They're out there really taking sides, and it's taking sides against Israel.
Hey, by the way, question, like you too, said, yeah, do you think that Trump may have missed a major point of not emphasizing how Hillary, literally sold the nation down the drain in this Iranian deal, and the emphasize the actual danger of this nuclear proliferation? Because I know many people are scared to death, and if I don't like to use this term, but if you push the button, mm-hmm. You could really move these people to vote in his direction. And I just think what these people did to us, meaning the Democratic Party and specifically Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, this was another collusion type deal. Money was involved, relationships were involved, politics was involved. And look what the danger they put this in, because we're going to see, sophisticated missile capability real soon.
And that's kind of the conclusion of your article, wasn't it, Abe? The danger that Hillary puts Israel and the United States in, right?
The people who are around her are people who were all in favor of the Iranian nuclear deal. There's plenty to criticize in the way Trump has run this campaign. I think he was very good in Gettysburg. When he sticks to issues, if he would keep talking like that, I think he'd be in great shape. But he is he's a little bit too easily sidetracked by the media attacks and by the personal attacks. And, gets himself into trouble and has to spend too much time getting out of trouble. If he could just keep on talking about Hillary and keep on talking about issues and keep on talking about why it is important that he be elected, I think he'd be doing better.
Yeah.
So, yes, did he miss an opportunity? He's missed a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, the question of all of this is whether the media would pay any attention.
Yeah, that's
key.
That's kind of part of my argument. And by the way, in your article, you make it very clear that she has the poor judgment, and she surrounded herself with a whole cadre of people who do not, as we've said, have Israel's best interests at heart. Starts with Huma Abedin, and it goes just go right on down the ladder. I mean, Tim Kaine was just the latest iteration of that crowd, if you will. The third wall. Tell us about that, Abe.
Well, this is interesting. There's been this UN organizational effort to sort of strip Jewish identity from Jerusalem.
That was the whole point of that UNESCO thing.
That.
Yeah, the UNESCO
the
thing.
The UNESCO thing, right. And what's really kind of, sort of ironic is that as the week that they're doing this, which, by the way, is a week when there are all kinds of Christian pilgrims who come to Israel. The place is full of tourists who are both Jewish and Christian, and they're coming to Jerusalem. because of the history, because of the Jewish history of it. You know, this is the week that they're denying the connection. And at the same time, there was a big archaeological find. They actually found there are descriptions from, let's say, the works of Josephus, of a wall, an additional wall that was around Jerusalem that the Romans, when they came in to invade, had to breach. And he describes how it was done and goes through all this. There was never any evidence of this wall. They didn't know exactly what he was talking about. And this week, they revealed that they have found the wall. It's a little bit beyond the current walls of the old city of Jerusalem. But they found the remnants of this wall. There are towers where guards stood, and they even found these giant, they were like cannonballs, but they were catapult balls that the Romans would use to bombard the guards there and allow their own soldiers to get in and try to break through the wall. And the balls are still there, right at the foot of the wall.
Wow.
So you've got evidence of this stuff from 2,000 years ago, as described by historians at the time, and at the same time, no mention whatsoever of any kind of, denying any kind of Jewish connection to the area by the UN. It's what somebody used the term diplomatic jihad. So it's an interesting term.
I think it fits.
And that's kind of what it is. Yeah.
I think there is a scripture that, and I'm just paraphrasing, that says, out of the earth will bring forth the truth. And every time something like this happens, it brings us right back to a scripture.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah. All right, Abe, that's really great stuff tonight. Wish it was all good news, but it's all great, it's all pertinent news and news that we need to hear. But you take care of yourself. We'll be praying for you in Israel this week, and God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Abe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, we really appreciate you. All right, that's Abe Katzman, his latest article. Once again, you can find it on our Facebook page, American Adversaries on Facebook. Also at his website, abekatzman.com, and the Times of Israel, where it broke. He broke that yesterday. It appeared there yesterday. Okay, we'll take a break and come right back. We got contest rules, and we're going to revisit a little something that we were doing last night, thanks to Kathy Santomassino. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
Welcome to Rush Hour on a Monday afternoon. Eastbound I-4, slow Sand Lake to the Universal Boulevard, then heavy John Young Parkway to Maitland, 436 to 434, slow and slow at the bridge. Westbound I-4, 408 to Michigan Street on the brakes, John Young Parkway to the Turnpike, Beach Line to 535 and pass 192. Beach Line westbound, a crash past 520 in the road, and on the 417 northbound, they're clearing that crash before the 408 and a new crash with lane blockage, John Young Parkway at Conroy. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family.
The Clintons.
Their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The
Hillary Clinton.
Good theme song when she comes out.
There you go. Welcome back.
Beautiful.
Talk about spooky. Boy, wow. The idea of her being president, that is spooky enough for sure. Last night on the show, Kathy Santomassino, on Sunday nights, she does a segment called SOS News. That's Sunday's Odd Stories. And last night she brought in a whole list of quotes by celebrities mm-hmm. who support Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. People like Don King. We know Don King is. Ted Nugent. We figure that. Lou Ferrigno. Herschel Walker. Some of them. Tom Brady supports Donald Trump. How about that? Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster. Gene Simmons of Kiss. And Mike Ditka. Sports Trump, right? Get Mike Ditka's quote. He said, I do like Donald Trump. I think he's on the right track. I think sometimes he's got to think a little bit more before he says things, but I think he's on the right track. Good advice coming from Ditka, right?
But you know what? He's what I call a real hard, you know what? Yeah. I mean, this guy, you know, you do what I say and get it done.
Took the Bears to the Super Bowl championship the only time. And then there was, get this, Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr is supporting Donald Trump. And the quote that we have from her is, I think we would be so lucky if Trump won. When people come here and they get a lot of benefits that our own veterans don't get, what's up with that?
She's right on the money.
And then, but when I told Rachel about this, she said something, too, that I think comes to play here.
Well, Roseanne Barr, of course, is Jewish DNA, and she went over to Israel, and she had been listening for years to propaganda about how Israel was so disregarding to the Palestinians, blah, blah, blah. And she, when she went over there and was really schooled in what was going
on. She got an education, didn't she?
Very quickly, and it changed her, I mean, completely changed her outlook, and she has been a voice for some time now. As fighting for Israel, and she obviously knows who would be in Israel's best interest, and that would be Trump.
Yeah.
Period.
And that's the bottom line here, and that's what Abe Katzman's article gets to, and he's addressed this in several articles now. And if there's anybody out there on the fence and you care at all about Israel, you have got to vote for Donald Trump.
Can I tell you a real quick funny story?
Please do.
In California with Pat Boone, and he was telling me about his love for Israel, and he said it all started when he was in Miami Beach way, way, way back, and he said he was sunbathing. An old, obvious Jewish woman walked up to him and said, are you Pat Bloom instead of Boone?
Right.
That's why he wrote that song that you're playing for Abe, which is the Exodus, and he wrote it on the back of a Christmas card.
Is that right?
Yes, and I was so, he had the Christmas card. He keeps it in a safe. He went back in his office, got it out, and showed me, but that's how that song, The Exodus, and it is like second to none over in Israel. That's almost their national anthem.
It's a great song, and we pulled it up originally because Poffo, Lanny Poffo, uses it as his wrestling intro.
Oh, my gosh,
music.
That's interesting, too. I mean,
sure it was written for him.
People don't know, though, it's Pat Boone that does it.
And actually, JJ, who's on the line, told us that it was from the movie Exodus. And I remembered. I knew it. I'd heard it somewhere before, you know. So let's go to JJ. Yeah.
Hey, JJ.
How you doing? Hey. Thanks for calling. Only got about a minute, so get right to your point, please.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say I do agree with Mike and Abe that Trump really could have said so much more. I wish he would say, you know, watch those YouTube videos, watch Dinesh D'Souza's movie, and if you want more collusion and bribes with the Iranians and more scandals and habitual lying and declining economy, more deterioration of our American morals and our Judeo-Christian values, then vote for Hillary. I mean, he should say, how can women vote for her? I mean, she's all about convenience, convenience for her server, convenience for women if the baby's not convenient for them, right up into the last day when somebody could adopt that child. And it's just disgusting. And she really needs to be called out on so many things. I just wish that he would tell people, research it, go watch, you know.
Well, in your answer, in your question or your statement, I should say, is sort of part of the answer or response I would get. There are so many things. And you got to understand, Donald Trump's life right now is like going 200 mile an hour around the track at Talladega, 24/7. I mean, it's just, it's fast-paced. Everything is rushing at him. There's so much happening, and you just can't do it all. So we pick up the slack here. All right, we got to take a break.
Thank you, JJ.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And when we come back, Congressman John Mica is going to join us for a little while. And we got a whole lot more to do tonight. We still got, what, 2-3 hours of talk to cram into 1 hour?
That's right. We got
to
take contests. We got to get them fired
contest
up.
Contest rules.
Wednesday.
That's right.
We'll
go over the contest rules right when we come back. So stick with us, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, or welcome to the show if you're just now able to tune us in. In any case, we certainly very much appreciate you being in the audience. I am Christopher Hart, along with Rachel Cohen and the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. We're here live until 7 o'clock, at which time Larry Elder will take over. And, of course, he's got a great show as well. You'll definitely want to listen to what he has to say. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget to take advantage of all of our great sponsors. They have allowed us to go sponsor-free this half hour, so we can spend the whole half hour with our guest, who I'm going to introduce here in just a moment. And once again, if you have any questions or comments for him, you can call us at 407-774-8255. In the meantime, Mike McBath is still riding high off that big victory over Ohio State the other night.
We are. Penn State.
Penn State, we are. Penn State. There you go. And, you know, Mike's in tonight because he won't be in Thursday night when we normally do our contest Thursday. So we're going to do it contest Wednesday this week. So what we do is we always give you a heads up ahead of time. So, Mike, what is this week's contest going to be?
This is going to center around our second annual Halloween costume contest. And what we're asking you to do, and last week we had a phenomenal response, and maybe we'll beat it this week, is to come up with costumes that you would like to see either politicians wear or possibly Hollywood actors. You know, choose the individual you would like, because we'd like to see them appear at the party as such.
Now, we did this last year, got a great response.
Great response, and it was good last.
Give a couple of examples.
And I'm just giving you, like, this year, because I try to update the costumes, you know, we don't go with the past, right?
Right,
I'm going to have a Colin Kaepernick. I think we're going to do is have him dress as a black Socrates. I think he would be terrific. This is one of the most pathetic philosophers I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
Well, he can't fit a thinking cap on that hair.
You're not kidding. My other one, I think I'm going to have Paul Ryan go as Judas. I think he'll probably play that role very well. And but it gives you an idea. Use your imagination. And, again, I know our audience will come up with just super thoughts. So it should be some fun.
All right. All right, that'll be Wednesday this week, and we'll tell you a little bit later on in the show what prizes you will be playing for, and they are great prizes. All right, in the meantime, as I said, we're going to go commercial-free the rest of this half hour of the show, because we want to spend as much time as we can with today's guest, and he is none other than Congressman John Mica. Congressman, thanks again for being on the show.
Hey, great to be back, and can you believe it's just 2 weeks out?
2 weeks out. Early voting started today. Did you vote?
No, I just, in fact, my press guy just asked me when I'm going to vote. It's going to be early morning on the election day. I always go to the polls in the general election. If I'm in Washington, I'll send in my absentee.
Yeah, I like to go on election day myself.
You see the atmosphere and everything.
You're looking at an old square, very conservative kind of guy.
That's why you fit in so good around here.
Yeah.
But
and,
no,
with my coat and tie. You know, I'm probably the only member of Congress. I require every staffer to wear a coat and tie. During the recess, now, you go to Capitol Hill, my guys will all have a coat and tie on. I tell them if they want to bale hay or, you know, plow fields, they can come in blue jeans and flip-flops or whatever.
Or if they want to be a radio show
host. I tell
them
they're representing the people of my district in the United States in Congress. And I am old-fashioned. So
that's the school that Mike was brought up in.
Actually, Joe Paterno, one of those great philosophies was he told all the players, I have one job when you go attend school here is to get you a job. You got to wear a coat, a tie, speak well, look well.
Exactly.
And that's and that's your deal.
I'm sorry.
If you don't like it, hit the highway. You ain't playing here.
Yeah. I agree, though, because presentation puts you in a mind frame.
Absolutely.
And we should do that with our kids.
And you know,
they should, in all seriousness.
Ronald Reagan, we got his life-size cutout here, and you were around back in the Reagan years.
Absolutely. I was chief of staff for Senator Hawkins. And I'm you see that cutout of Ronald Reagan? I talked to Ronald Reagan as the chief of staff in the U.S. Senate more than I talked to Barack Obama, who has been president for a miserable 7.5 years.
Tell us,
you're so lucky of that.
And I have been chairman of one of the biggest committees in Congress. I'm telling you.
And, you know, he always wore his coat and tie in the Oval Office. And it's because the same reason you just gave, respect. Yeah. Respect for the country
and
respect for the people that you serve.
Well, that's the difference between a great president and a failed presidency, which we've gotten 7.5 years. And I just saw as I walked in here the double-digit increases in Obamacare.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that.
Shameless. Absolutely shameless. I was telling you guys, too, you didn't know that members of Congress can't be on the federal employees. That was Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley said, if that's garbage is good enough for the public, he says, well, we'll make the members of Congress do it. So, and I mentioned to you, my wife got sick last year. So we've been on it 2 miserable years.
Obamacare.
I have had huge deductibles, huge payments. Now we're going to get another one. And now with her illness, I can't get off it. I'm trapped. And I had insurance before.
I know, good quality insurance.
Yeah. I'm like half the people already had insurance. But what a disaster. And there are 38 million people left with no insurance.
We could have actually paid the premiums of those who didn't have insurance and been a lot better off.
Well, and, of course, the scary
all the money
thing
we've
is
lost.
If congressmen like you don't get sent back to Congress, it's only going to get worse.
Well, because that's the choice people have. And people can choose. If you want bigger government, if you want more government regulation, if you want government more in your life, if you want government to be your nanny, go to the mailbox, let your kids see you never work, not contribute, and that's what we'll get. And unfortunately, he has doubled the number of people on public assistance.
And that's amazing.
He has put the African, the untold story is what he's done to the African Americans. They should be outraged at what has happened with this president under this administration. Their kids in school the dropout rate is phenomenal.
Yep.
The problems that they have in achieving a level of education where they can succeed is horrible, that we've regressed. The salaries have gone down. The unemployment's gone up. The number of people on public assistance gone up. The unwed is off the charts. They don't even know who the fathers are in some of these minority families now. And until we start fixing the family and government policy that encourages that, I am telling you, this country is headed for tough, tough times.
And
now, I haven't gotten into drugs. Where, you know, on the gun thing, come on, guys. They're slaughtering the minorities. Practically two-thirds of your people that are killed with guns that are stolen, and then half of the murders are committed against black and black.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about this stuff.
We do.
This guy's gotten away with it, and he snookered the minorities. And I think a lot of them will stay home this time.
I do, too.
They see snooker number two coming online.
Yeah.
And she, you know, here, and God bless my friends here. Well, I've been in Congress a long time, and there should be a few people in Congress that stay a while. I've been through with that woman. I've been through Whitewater. I've been there. I've seen what they did, how they stole and manipulated and all the things that they did. I've been there with Travelgate. Well, she concocted a scheme to fire all of the employees.
Who had been faithful employees.
Her buddies who who front-funded his primaries so he could win the primary and then the election. And then she gave all the goodies. I mean, huge contracts. I mean, if a Republican did anything like that, they would be drawn and quartered.
Well, you know, sort of the difference between now and then, though, is now she also has evidently people in the FBI and the Justice Department and the IRS all on their team, too.
You saw me questioning Comey. My interns helped. My interns were so proud of that. We did the little chart starting with the meeting on the tarmac.
Yeah,
ending eight days later.
Yeah,
he never interviewed here. He never swore in. They didn't keep a record of it. Loretta
Lynch.
She said, "What was it the day before that?" Whatever they find, that's what I'll go with.
Oh, yeah, right.
So he pulls up the sedans on Saturday morning. They do the quick and dirty. We have 4th of July the next day. The next day she drops the case. Come on, people. We're adults. This is beyond the pale.
After the election, what can Congress...
I just got off the phone today.
All right.
You know, I'm the senior member of the investigative and oversight panel.
Right.
Nobody would be happier to get rid of me. I mean, Pelosi has dumped. She has dumped, as of Friday, $3.1 million against me. They just bought another $1.4 million. She would do an Irish jig and a dance to get rid of me. So would the bureaucrats, because, again, I know where the bodies are. Go after them. And I'm telling you that we had this discussion today where we are. My recommendation, and I don't make the final. I'm the senior member on the committee, but I'm not the chairman,
right.
Is we continue where we are. We were doing the hearings. We continue and finish this. It doesn't matter the outcome. We go after the fact. The whole reason for my committee, the oversight committee, is accountability, government accountability.
It has
back to 1808.
We have
the
to
founding
have that.
Fathers
right.
did not trust the appropriators
right.
who spend the money or appropriate. They didn't trust the authorized who create the programs, and they wanted someone else doing that check, and that's why we've got to do it. And if it was a Republican president who would.
This is all about
involved,
the system.
Exactly,
right.
Or a Republican Secretary of State.
Right.
We should go after it, keep the system clean. But that was those were my words to staff today and recommendation. Yeah.
Well, like you said, they would want very much to get rid of you. They have put up a candidate against you that they are funding heavily and giving her a lot of TV time. But you have been good to this area.
Thrown everything at me, but the kitchen sink and the appliances, too.
And indeed. You are in a new district, however, I'm now in your district.
That's why they're after me. It was a 50-50 Obama, Romney. And
how do you
this
feel?
Is not about me. I'm like this little ping pong ball in this big race for the seat. But they have pounded me. Tomorrow morning we're going to announce a poll that we took over the weekend. Very in-depth poll. Very accurate. We did the robocall kind of polls last week. Then we followed up with the most accurate. We're beating them by a good margin. And
all
I'm
right.
going to make Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat National Committee spend $5 million.
And waste it.
And I will go up there and just laugh in their face. I think I can beat them. I mean, this is one... Heck, I have to watch my language on here, but this is one heck of a drubbing. They've thrown everything. I mean, it's just outrageous stuff that they've concocted. It's the DCCC. People just look
right.
at it. And Pelosi's PAC. Pelosi's PAC put in $850,000. Then she's been here. Steny Hoyer was here.
Is there any Soros money? Is she
spending no Soros so far.
So far.
Pray for next week. but I think what if we have withstood this, and you'll see the poll figures in the morning, it's astounding that the people have had the faith. And I think it's because I've tried to do the best job I can. People know me. They know my family, my wife.
Well, certainly.
We're part of the community. And they're coming in. But we've had everybody come in here. Barbara Lee was in here, the most liberal person
In Congress.
In Congress was here in Sanford. So
we've
had them all.
We've been encouraging people to vote for you. You have been an excellent conservative.
There's some
here.
Of my votes I don't like myself. Sometimes I hold my nose. And
there's been some times when we've been critical of you. But all in all, you've been an excellent congressman. Uh-huh. And you do uphold the faith and trust of the people who vote for you. And that's very important. And we got one of them on the line, as a matter of fact, who wants to thank you personally. James, thanks for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, but please get right to your point, okay?
Mr. Micah, I think everybody knows about what you do, you know, for the district as a whole and the benefits you've gotten for them. But the reason I called in tonight was to say thank you. I'm sure you wouldn't recognize my name, and we've never met. But I had a problem with the government agency, and I wrote to your staff, and your staff jumped on the ball, and I could not believe that. Within 2 days after I wrote to your staff, the agency that I had a problem with contacted me and wanted to resolve the agency.
All right.
So that's what we're there for.
Thanks, James.
And that's the very least I can do. I tried to do that for my constituents, and I think we have one of the best, most responsive. And sometimes a few things fall through the cracks, but I'm telling you, I'm there. We've been there, and I've been there. I'm proud of my staff, who's also.
I know you've been there for our veterans too.
I do. Yeah, we made that hospital. They talked about it. You know, they stole it from McCollum when I first came into office, and they built a little clinic over in Brevard and the shaft at our guys. But I never let up on that. My dad died in a crowded veterans hospital, so my commitment has been to our veterans that no family or no veteran have to go through what we do. That's why I spend time on that issue and trying to get Bree Baldwin. We've gotten the clinic, the pharmacy. We got the domiciliary where mostly homeless veterans or veterans who need longer-term care, more than a pill and a pat on the back and go sleeping on the street. But we were getting them off the street. We've got 60 beds down at the new Lake Nona, and I got another 40 contract beds not too far from here. So we've done a lot to put a dent. Now, there's still big problems with VA.
Yeah. There's more to be done.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But, again, I look out for my guys here that have served the country as best I can.
John, another question is, Mike, upon the end of this election, and let's say if Hillary is elected, will you people continue to pursue her? I mean, in all seriousness.
You know, we got to have the majority.
The American people.
We have some air sick bags if you need
one. I hate to be this blunt. The American people want her in jail.
Well, again, you heard my discussions today. I had a conference call with our oversight staff today. And my support is to, in fact, right after the elections, now I don't make the final decision, but that was my recommendation that we continue. And there's so much pending. I mean, you can spend all your time just we haven't even gotten really to the foundation and some of the stuff that's been going on there. And what is it, all special deals for contributions, I mean, pay to play.
The Iranian
I mean, this
deal.
Is one of the, Iran.
That's disgusting.
Iran. And that, you know, in my oversight job, I went with Daryl Issa post-Benghazi. We went around to all those posts. I was in Lebanon. We were in Algeria, Morocco. We were in Israel. And we met with, I got to tell the story. We met with Netanyahu. And when we talked to our leadership, we went to Netanyahu and we told him one thing. On behalf of the Republicans, Mr. Netanyahu, we are telling you that we've got your back. And what we meant by that was, if you decide to protect yourself and take out Iranian nuclear
facilities
that they're gaining the production, they know where they are. I says, when and if they get to that point, we can't depend on Obama to do squat. You know, his line in the sand, all of that. But we went and told them that we would have his back. If they get to that point, you do it. You do what it takes to save Israel. Okay, so let me tell you. They gave them this money, these billions of dollars that was freed up. Do you know? And you know what they did with the money, the Iranians? They went and bought the latest most sophisticated Russian systems. They have put
air
them.
Defense.
They
air
have
defense.
Put them all around
the missile development.
All around those Iranian sites, they have neutered some of Israel's capability. Now I've been a big fan too. Yeah. Of getting them the biggest buster bunker bombs,
right,
or whatever we have. We have some neat technology.
Right.
But I'm telling you, what they did with that money really handicaps our ally, puts us at risk like never before. And we allowed, through that deal, to put them and the whole beyond the region at risk. They get that thing. They've said death to America, and they're also enhancing the size and capability of their missile systems to do that.
Right.
Not to mention the nutcake we got in the Pacific with
North Korea.
Yeah. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Congressman John Micah today, and we do endorse him and encourage you to vote for him.
Can you do that?
And I know I will. And by the way, I'm in your district, and I'm going to be voting for you, and I'll be doing
and
it.
And I think
proudly.
I got my wife, so that's two.
We'll push you over the top.
What is the actual district, though, that you cover?
The district now shifts.
But I mean, the towns and communities.
Yeah, it used to go into Volusia County, and I had DeBary, Orange City, and Deltona. I lose all of that with the court-ordered redistricting. They've pushed me more into Orlando. I had a little bit, like have in Orange County, I have Lake Baldwin, I have Maitland, Winter Park. But they pushed me below Highway 50, so now I have downtown.
Right.
Then I go all the way out to 436 below Highway 50, up to the 408. So that's where the new, and it's heavier Democrat and heavier independent. Well, that's what's made it that even district. That's why they targeted this and put
made
the
it
money.
More of a race.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're gonna just, if you can buy a seat for $5 million, that's what they're trying to do. She raised between $90 and $100 million, Pelosi did, and now she's targeted 30 seats. Do the math. She could take over Congress. If she can beat me, 29 others, she's Speaker of the House.
Right.
I don't think she's America's favorite, though. Well, we've had enough people not quite in love with Nancy Pelosi.
Congressman, we just have a couple of minutes left here. Your opponent has been leveling a lot of charges
horrible.
Against you.
Yeah.
What would you like to say in response?
Not true. Everything's a distortion. Like they said, Micah supported violence against women, voted against violence for women. You can look at my record. I voted like 22 times, I think, for the strongest violence against women over my years.
Right.
One time I voted for an alternative that was weaker. So that's the vote they take to say, oh, he's for this.
Right.
The pay raise is an interesting. They said Micah voted for a pay raise 8 times. Okay. When I saw that, my jaw dropped. I went to the staff. I said, did I ever vote? I said, you guys have had instructions. If there's ever a vote, I've got to vote. I don't make many pledges, but I said I wouldn't vote. Mr. Micah, you voted. Here's the evidence. Here's every vote. So we looked back and we tried to see, well, where'd this come from? 8 times we had an omnibus bill over 23 years that would fund the government.
Fund everything,
yeah.
Right.
So by that, the TV stations gave it a Pinocchio it said it was misleading at best. But I don't have the money. I've just gone on the air. You know, I had a couple of positive ads, and I went on the air Thursday. So I haven't had the money. I've had to take it, the abuse, the rottenness, the sliming. But we're up, and we're going to stay up until the election, and we're fighting back, and that's all I can do.
Well, we certainly appreciate you fighting for us. And
we'll be fighting for you. Even if they take me down, you guys take Hillary down.
Well, we're working hard.
We don't get to vote on issues, but we get to vote for people who will present our issues, and that's why we need someone like Congressman Micah, period.
Indeed.
This is not a paid political advertisement, and this is John Micah, but I approve this message. Thank you.
And we approve John Micah. Please get out, vote for him, support him, encourage people in his district to vote for him. We need good, solid Republican conservatives like this man now more than ever.
Here comes Johnny B. Bell. Romero. You may know me in wrestling as a star, Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna fruta.
Oh, no, we won't want to let that happen. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries, where we have the best sponsors around. I tell you what, they're all great sponsors. Pasquale Barba, Abe Katzman.
He's a great golfer, too.
Yeah. Abe Katzman.
Chris, you got to get off of, five-hour energy, you know.
Aubrey Kahn. And
Jerry
and Janice Shepherd, yep. And Dino and his wife Janice Rentos, who were in other day, and Pierce Outlaw and
the Patriot,
Patriot Home Funding, and just all a bunch of great people. And I'm losing myself here, just trying to remember them all. And we
you're
have
too
great
excited
sponsors.
Being around a politician.
And our contest Thursday is coming up, and we're going to do it on Wednesday this week because Mike won't be in on Thursday. And he has come up with our Halloween. We're going to, it's the second annual Halloween costume contest. And have you ever seen that movie 300?
Yeah.
What I'm talking about? About that famous battle?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking for Congressman Micah, he could be one of those guys.
Oh, yeah,
right?
One of the guys. Oh, yeah, with his helmet on. I don't know if the stomach ripples quite like they do in the 300.
But think about it. That 300 stood up against a huge dominant force and would have held them off pretty much in perpetuity if somebody hadn't betrayed them, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of people we need in Congress right now. And whether Trump gets elected or not, we need these people there, especially if he gets elected, because he's going to need to get his 100-day plan, which is an excellent plan, through. And then, of course, if Hillary gets elected, we do need people there. And we can't rely on the leadership. I'll tell you that right now. You mentioned that, calling Judas for Paul Ryan. Right here, and the congressman giggled. the truth is we cannot rely on the leadership. As a matter of fact, I said on the show last night, and I'll say it again today, I think Paul Ryan personally, deep down, wants Hillary Clinton to win. And you want to know why?
I believe it. You don't have to convince me on that.
Well, just think of the situation. Mm-hmm. If Hillary Clinton wins, and especially if the Senate falls, he's the big man about town, right? He's the leadership of the minority party, and he's still running the House of Representatives. So all business has to come through Paul Ryan. He's the big deal now. But if Donald Trump gets elected, he's a punk.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I agree with you 100%. And like I say, Paul's outfit's going to be very good. In our Halloween party, Paul's invited, and I recommend that he does dress as Judas, and then my other costume that I think we should implement, Colin Kaepernick, this is a real intellect, right? I think he can go
Socrates.
As a black Socrates, because
God
he's such
us.
A philosopher. But, come up with, pick your politician, your movie star, your media person, and let's get their costumes ready for a final blowout.
On Wednesday.
That's
and you're
exactly
going to be playing
right.
For a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd, Jerry's Mercedes-Benz, and now they also treat BMWs,
mm-hmm.
and they will treat your car right, and you at the same time, your wallet. They are the dealership alternative. That's Jerry and Janice Shepherd. And then, of course, Rick Brown has ponied up those $10 gift cards to Tijuana Flats.
Downtown Rick Brown.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, every UCF game day is discount day at the Tijuana Flats in Oviedo, Winter Springs,
won this
and Avalon
week too.
Park.
Yeah, so they got to be fired up to stop by his place and have a few shooters.
They came from behind to win, too.
Yep.
And then also Dino and Janice Rentos have come on board, great sponsors. And they're offering, as part of the prize package, these life-size cutouts.
So
and
we
these
get
are
them
great
every,
gift ideas.
We get them every week to offer?
Well, for a while, yeah. And plus he's also,
that's amazing.
Plus, he's given us some discount coupons that we'll be offering as prizes as well.
I encourage these individuals, having a bunch of them at my house for my children. You can't get a better birthday
present. No, they're
present.
Awesome.
They're just awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. John Siepert and Pierce Outlaw, by the way, of Patriot Home Funding, they're great sponsors, too. They just came on board. Very patriotic guys and big football fans, too, by the way. And so we got some great sponsors, great prizes for our contest. So get those contest entries ready. And don't forget, Saturday night at Cafe Positano is a Halloween
bash.
That
is the big Halloween bash.
That's right. The monster bash.
What are you going to ask, Chris?
I haven't decided yet. Oh, haven't decided come on, yet. You know? I was thinking I'd get one of them Trump masks, but you know they're hard to find now.
Just wear his hair. You can have your regular face there, and just wear his hair. You
know? I'll get me an orange dish rag and
you
put it on my
look
head.
Like Trump or George Washington. I don't know which one.
Yeah. I've even seen little dogs with a Trump hairpiece. Now
so
they're selling dog pieces. All of these little poodles with a Trump fold over.
Just think how much fun this country would be with Donald Trump as president.
And I think how depressed we're going to be if Hillary's the president.
I can't think like that.
I can't even go there.
But I do want to say that I've thoroughly enjoyed being in the studio today, like I do all the time. But Congressman Michael was really, when he talked about a preemptive strike with Israel, was a very valid point. And I just think people, like I said earlier, we can't vote on issues, but we can elect people that can vote on the issues that are important to us. So go to the polls.
And if you wonder if the man still has fire in his belly, yeah, he does.
He does.
I'm sure you could tell he was very passionate today.
But he's articulate.
So, one thing I like
and
about
he needs your vote. Yeah. If you live in his district, Congressman District 7, downtown Orlando, where I live now, is in that district. So I can't wait to get out and vote for him.
I'm glad he's up on the national defense situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, when we think of these nuclear weapons and the technology.
I know. Iran has one nuclear plant.
Mm-hmm.
They're building the second one. I know plenty about engineering. I could read a schematic backwards and forwards, and I can tell you that the centrifuges that they're trying to build over there, this is not for energy. This is absolutely outrageous, and we're pumping money into them.
Right.
And, of course, Israel is... they're going to have to do a preemptive strike if this goes any further.
Yeah, it will have to be done because it is a matter of the existence of the state of Israel.
And then,
of course, it will be us next.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We're next in line.
Yeah, but if we allow Israel to fall, then we deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's our covenant.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this stuff with Hillary, you know, in this deplorable stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this whole thing is biblical in nature. And if you don't believe me, Rachel's got something for us here.
Yes, and on Angel Strong, which is my new Facebook page, and please, everybody, try to go on there and friend me because I'm getting followers and it's just so much fun because it's like-minded people. Even though some people may disagree with some things, it's just a lot of fun. But I put up something from the book of Zechariah, and it says, and this is Zechariah 5:7. What is it, he said? This is a basket moving forward. And then he went on to say, this is wickedness, and it is a woman, and the woman is in the basket sitting. And he puts the lead down over her head, and he closes the basket and sends her away. This is wickedness. And I thought, okay, now I know what that basket of deplorables, she's in it. And it's scriptural because the basket of deplorables, when she said that and she thought she was doing it in hiding, everything comes to light eventually, just like Abe Katzman said. They're trying to press something with UNESCO, and here comes a wall that nobody has seen in 2,000 years.
All of a sudden discovered.
Yes, nothing that's said in the darkness will not eventually come to light. So her bringing up what she did, we know how she feels about a majority of this country.
Indeed. And so what we need to do is put the lead on her and ship her out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cover the basket with lead and ship her out.
An amazing thing, Chris, with all these emails, if the American people hasn't had their opportunity to see how corrupt this group of people are, particularly the emphasis on the Clintons, you just about deserve what's going to happen to you, and you're not going to like what's going to happen.
I agree completely.
Well, I think that this sort of death by a thousand cuts or Chinese water torture, however you want to put it, this daily barrage of leaks from WikiLeaks. Now we also have videos coming out regularly from Project Veritas.
I agree.
By the way, the latest Project Veritas video will be on Hannity tonight, along with the hitman from the Inquirer article about Hillary Clinton. I believe that because there's a little something in there for everybody, so to speak, that, for instance, what they said about Catholics, right?
Right.
What Abe was talking about today, what they've talked about Jews behind their backs, you know, don't go out trumpeting, you know, Israel or Jewish causes unless you're doing it to a Jewish audience. That's bordering on I don't want to call it racism, but certainly a form of bigotry.
Here is the deal. We're talking facts. when you are talking about paper like that that comes out, these are facts. Then on the opposite side, you have people like Miley Cyrus who can't keep her tongue in her mouth. She's like total reptilian, tongue slithering out, knocking on campus doors. She is. She's in dormitories right now, pounding on doors. They don't care about this information that's coming out. They're just trying to get the college age and the millennials to vote, not on any substance.
No,
at all.
No. No.
Star power.
Right. But in a way, I'm kind of, I don't know, more or less encouraged by that. When they have to go to door in a dorm,
yeah,
doesn't that tell
rough.
You a little
Things
something?
Things aren't going well.
Maybe not so much so. And Barack Obama today is campaigning in California.
Right.
What a waste of time, which is good.
For him
there.
Especially, because of all the people out there of her surrogates, if you ask me, he's the best one. I mean, he does the best job. He knows how to work a crowd. You got to hand him that. That's what's partly got him where he is. He is a popular president amongst his party right now. I would have him in all the key states. Maybe I should shut my mouth, but if he's in California, that just don't fit.
No, that is crazy to waste a day in California.
This notion that it's all wrapped up and now they're going into red states and stuff like that. Don't buy into this nonsense. Think Penn State, Ohio State.
That's right. We are. That's right.
Penn State was not even in the top 25, was a 21-point underdog, wasn't given a chance. The first half of the game, it looked like the odds makers were right. Lo and behold, by the time it's over, the Penn State fans are all running all over the field and tearing up the town because they're so happy.
Could this not be what we see?
I hope
it's
so.
Coming.
I hope so.
I mean, you know, you think about this, Chris. I mean, that was a good analogy because they're trying so hard through these polls to discourage all people.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It just fires me up more. And when I see these emails daily, constantly new ones, you know, what the great thing is, there's nothing they can hide from us. We know what scoundrels they are.
Yeah, these emails definitely confirm it.
Oh, boy.
But as I said, we know that we are in biblical times. And literally, we're not kidding around. I mean, especially when you have this UNESCO resolution was passed this week, which basically denies the history of Israel, the true history of Israel, for a modern-day revision. And then the wall, the third wall, covered for 2,000 years. It hasn't been seen since pretty much when Jesus was walking around back then, right?
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, the same week it's discovered, something special is going on here, okay? And we want you all to be a part of it. And you can't do that if you give up the ghost, if you give up the faith. You got to keep the faith.
And I agree 100%. That everybody's always talking about Israel with the Iron Dome, you know, the protector.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I said it's God's throne because he picked that particular land and he will protect it. We don't know what's going to happen now, but we do know Trump is behind Israel and Hillary is not.
She'll just float whatever direction the money
she's
flows.
Iran.
No, it won't be. Yeah, it won't be floating. It'll be going with the current.
Out.
Going
yeah.
with the current in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
All right. Let's take Tommy's phone call, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about our power prayers. The first one, which we will hold tomorrow morning. We want all of y'all to join in and make it as powerful as possible. Tommy, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Hey, it's so good to talk to you again. I'm so sorry that I missed the interview with John Micah.
Well, just real quick, you can always hear, we do archive all of our shows. We don't make anybody pay for that, so it's AmericanAdversaries.com. Go ahead.
I did not know that, but I'll be sure to look. But listen, I just wanted to make a comment. I mean, I'm so thankful that y'all have brought somebody in there to put a biblical connection into all this, because I do believe it is all biblical, and we, no matter what happens, and I pray to God, boys like you just don't even know that Hillary does not become our commander-in-chief. But that said, I'm so glad that you brought someone in there that can put it in the context for us Christians. Now, my point was that, you know, I never could understand how our country, you know, during the Civil War times could become so divided and have such, I guess, just hate for each other, that it could divide the country. But I get it now. You know, there's so much at stake. I mean, and we know it. And how these people on the other side can just continue to swallow what they're getting every day. It doesn't matter who is exposing their emails, Russia, or it's certainly not going to be the FBI, is it?
I guess not.
Not quite.
But at any rate, my comment was just, you know, it's easy to understand now. And that's my comment. So God bless you and appreciate you very much.
Right, Tommy, can I just say something, Chris, what Tommy said?
Yeah.
It's he used the word division. That is the evil one's thing to do. He divides. The Messiah pushes apart. He separates. Things that never belong together, he pushes apart. But the devil pulls apart those that belong together. So when we see this division, we know it's scriptural and it's biblical and scriptural and political. So we just have to buck up and vote and try to the best we can, and our prayers, they go up, and we hope that the blessings come down.
All right, thank you, Tommy, and just to follow up on your appreciation for Rachel, every person who's on this show, even McBath, are God sent. I'm literally here to tell you that if these folks hadn't come along and come along at the time that they came along, we wouldn't be sitting here. So I am just so honored and privileged to be surrounded by such a great team. I don't know why I am at the focal point of it, and I certainly don't deserve it, but I appreciate each and every one of them. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about our power prayer. We want to do the first one tomorrow morning, and we want you to join us. Keep praying on your own time, too. We'll be right back. Folks, please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years' experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123. 877-377-8123, or visit them at myphf.com.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner, you need to protect your business from accidents, property damage, substance abuse, and theft. I can help you lower your risk and get an insurance discount with a program that is effective and affordable. Don't be caught with your guard down. Please call me today for a free assessment at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
All right, a little more Halloween music for you. The Munsters.
I love it. I know.
All right, so everything. Which celebrity or politician would make a good Herman Munster, for instance?
John Kerry, you know that. That's a simple one for me.
No, I was going to dress him up as Mr. Ed.
That's Cash and Kerry.
That's right.
Well, Rachel, I have one for you who I would like to see dress up is Elizabeth Warren. I'm thinking of having her dress as Joan of Arc, and then when she goes to the party, they could burn her at the stake.
That'll be Wednesday, our costume contest, and please do get those entries ready.
We're looking forward to this one.
Right. You know, more and more stuff comes out about the Clintons, but also the way this government is being run under Obama. You know, when Department of Justice went after some of these banks like Wells Fargo and Citibank and others and got these big billion-dollar settlements because of things that happened during the housing bust and all that, do you know what they did with the money?
No, actually.
They, first of all, let's say Citibank got fined $1 billion.
Okay.
They could cut that fine down to $100 million. If they would give that $100 million to a left-wing...
Oh, yeah, I saw that. You're right.
Right?
Yep, you're right. That is...
Listen, folks, we are up against it. Congressman Mike is in a tough race. Obviously, Donald Trump's in a tough race. We've got to do everything that we can. And because I believe that we are in biblical times, really all of human history is biblical times. It's just more... Sometimes they're more important or more obvious than others, if you will. What we have done is organized. We're organizing. We want you to pray with us tomorrow morning. Here's the deal. Our power prayer should be sometime between 3 and 6 a.m., whichever is, you know, works for you, between 3 and 6 a.m., with the focus on 5 a.m. That's when we would like as many people as possible praying at one time, 5 a.m., between 3 and 6 a.m. Why between 3 and 6 a.m.? Because that's the still of the morning. That's when the communication works best, if you will, okay? This is a historical thing that people get inspiration. They do things early in the morning, and it's because it is the stillness of the morning. Also, we would like you to name names. Pray for Donald Trump. Pray against the liberal and progressive influences in our society in general and in our city in particular. And if you have a map of Florida, hold that in your hands. Pray for Florida. If you have a map of the United States, same thing. We want you to be focused and specific. This is not God, let thy will be done, or the Lord's Prayer. We want this to be focused. That's why we're calling it a power prayer. We're asking for God's power to answer our prayers in the affirmative. He answers all prayers, but maybe more often than not, the answer is no. But we want to go out there and tell God what we want for His country. So name names between 3 and 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Also, and I mentioned this on the show last night, if you can fast, don't eat anything between, say, now and tomorrow morning, and when we do this next week and the week after, if you could fast ahead of those prayers, and we'll do it at the same time, please do so. Once again, these are things that you'll find in the Bible, okay? That's why we're doing it this way. So please, if you can, fast. Pray between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. Name names. Be specific. Rachel.
I don't know if you know, but tonight actually starts a Jewish sort of a holiday where it is the reading of the Bible in public.
And do that too. If you know Scripture by heart, recite them as part of your prayer. If you have a favorite Scripture in the Bible, if you have to read it, read it. Make this all a part of the effort. This is not just, let's just say, be as serious and as sincere as possible, because God will know, and He will hear, and He will answer, okay? So please do this for our nation and for yourselves. Ultimately, we're all on our own little personal journey here. Don't be the teammate who gave up and wasn't part of the great victory. Just think, Ohio State, Penn State.
You're right.
All right? Penn State was not given a prayer, and they won, big.
And it's also, you know, once you're done praying, get out and do your work. Because
exactly.
God gives you the ability to push people to the polls and to call people and to voice your opinion.
Exactly. So do everything you can, and then when this thing is over, it's in God's hands, and we've done what we can do. So please help us and participate tomorrow morning between 3 and 6 a.m. Plan on doing it again next Tuesday. And finally, one more time, the third time, 3, the morning of the election. Okay? And we will be, open your windows or
we'll
go outside.
All those people dressed in white.
Go outside if you can. Go outside if you can, under the sky. And if not, that's fine. But the closer you can get to God, the better.
Direct line.
You got it. And this will be, once again, and if you're, I don't know, if you listen very careful, you just might hear the the sound of the
shofar,
which is
it's the trumpet. It's a ram's horn.
A ram's horn trumpet. All right, the shofar. We will be sounding it tomorrow morning. All right. Richard, I'm sorry we don't have the time for your phone call tonight. If you'd like to call back tomorrow night, we would love to talk to you about voting for judges. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Don't forget, once again, the power prayer tomorrow morning, the contest Wednesday night this week. And don't forget, Larry Elder's coming up here in just a few minutes. Our Facebook page is American Adversaries on Facebook. We got a lot of new stuff up there, just put up over the weekend and today. Angel Strong is Rachel's Facebook page.
She's friend me.
There you go. She's got a lot of great stuff up there.
Angel Strong, that's pretty cool.
Right. And for Tommy and you others out there who don't know, we probably don't mention it enough, but on our website is our archive, AmericanAdversaries.com, where you can also sign up and be a member of the American Adversaries Army. All right. We got 2 weeks to go.
Let's push 100% forward.
Let's make it count. Just think.
Penn State, Ohio State.
You got it.
And we'll make Hillary, Ohio State for about 2 weeks.
There you go. Night, everybody.
From the Total Roof Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer.